And good evening, everybody. Jared Smith here in Charleston, South Carolina, joined tonight by Joseph Navin, who has helped us yesterday with our severe weather coverage on what was a very busy day of weather. We had a little bit of everything just about on Tuesday, and Joseph, I don't know about you, but I know that you were all over the place. Maybe tell us a little bit about, you know, just getting started, like just some of the stuff that you went after, some of the stuff that you saw.
Yeah, definitely. We started the day just traveling from Charleston up to Columbia, and wasn't too bad in the morning, but driving through the rain and the wind, definitely felt it. Luckily, we got done doing that by noon. Not too bad here in Columbia. We missed a tornado warning just to the west of us, but noticeably some, we'll talk about later, but noticeably some heavy waters on the river here, definitely from the rainfall. So
yeah, and you love it. Yeah, and you were out there. You saw. It sounds like that has now gone into minor flood stage.
Yes, just barely now. Yeah.
So, which river was that again?
The Congaree. I can't say it correctly. The Congaree River.
Yeah.
It just as of a couple hours ago reached about 18.98, so almost 19 feet. So that's just at minor flood stage right now. So it's relatively high. It looks like it's just about to hit the waterfront walkway they have on the Columbia side, if not just below it. So it's fairly high.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be one of many rivers that's going to go into flood. We've had we had a lot of rain upstream. We had a lot of flooding. We had a lot of rain up there. Our James Brierton was out yesterday chasing some of the floods. I'll pull up a little video that we've got some video from that. And again, it's just kind of wild here. We'll just let this run. You can see that water just absolutely moving there. The water was a big part of the story in the upstate of South Carolina, in western North Carolina. Tornadoes were a part of the story. Straight line winds were part of the story. You could see the clouds racing there. Mm-hmm. Just a whole lot to this. So what we're going to do, let's just kind of take a look at yesterday and let's talk about that. And I think the first thing that we've got to, you know, that we have to acknowledge is that unfortunately we did have a fatality yesterday. That was in Catawba County in Claremont, North Carolina. We'll go ahead and bring up the storm survey here and take that full. This was an EF1 tornado with 110 mile an hour peak winds, maximum width 250 yards. Unfortunately, there was one fatality in this storm. One is always too many. This was complicated because these QLCS tornadoes can be very difficult to warn on. This was a nasty one, and it was about midday or so. And unfortunately, there was a fatality there. Another tornado went across as another EF1 in Columbia that went across Lake Murray and Chapin. There's a few photos down here on the slide that'll show you the show you the downed trees and shows you some of the damage that happened there. It was an EF1 with 90 mile an hour winds, went about 1.7 miles and was about 150 yards wide, so about a football field and a half. But the tornado that got a lot of attention yesterday as well was the one in Bamberg, and did some real unfortunate damage here. This is a photo from Trooper Brittany from the South Carolina Highway Patrol. She was moving through the area and was like, "Hey, yeah, there was a tornado in Bamberg." And yeah, there was a tornado in Bamberg. Their city hall collapsed. The preliminary survey is 125 miles an hour. EF2 has not been That has not been finalized yet. Columbia is still working on that designation. But we can go in through some of these images here that that she shared. And yeah, Joseph did very clearly a lot of damage here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, especially for around in North and South Carolina, it's not really something we see all the time, especially, you know, when we do have them, it's usually EF1, EF0, but in the EF2 range, that's, if it is, in fact, that we don't really see that all the time here. So that really stuck out when we saw that.
Yeah. And Vanessa watching us on YouTube tonight, just commenting here that, that it is very sad. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, it is. It is very sad. I typically like to take back roads to Atlanta. When I go through Atlanta, and one of those back roads is through Bamberg, and I usually stop in Bamberg. It's a nice stop, nice people, beautiful downtown, and it really kind of hit something yesterday seeing those images. And I hope people recover. Hopefully we can get recovery there. And it's just a really sad situation.
Definitely.
Out there in Bamberg for sure. Mm-hmm. So the next thing, so that was kind of early afternoon. We had, a bit of a tornado issue upstate, we had a flooding issue upstate, and flooding was mostly part of the morning event. I had a coworker who had a bunch of water in his basement, unfortunately. It was just not fun. And then we got into the non-thunderstorm winds, and then then the squall line moves into the coastal plain. And then we get into the thunderstorm winds. So check this out. I've got some of the peak gusts from Charleston. And if you think this is nuts, just wait until we talk to you about Morehead City. But numerous gusts in the 50, 60, 70, almost 70 mile an hour range here. Charleston International Airport gusted to 69. Charleston Tide Gauge gusted to 67. Bono up by Lake Moultrie in Berkeley County. Down here, 65 miles an hour. Ravenel Bridge, 64 miles an hour. There was a tractor trailer that actually tipped over on the Ravenel Bridge due to strong winds. So
they had to close it too.
And they had to close it and eventually
close it. But yeah,
what happening was Charleston County went to something they call Code Red. And what that means is that there is, it becomes unsafe to travel. Basically, they say, this is unsafe for us to send first responders. So if you're caught up there, you're on your own. That's a very rare situation. Mm-hmm. I can name countless tropical cyclones where that hasn't happened, to give you a general idea of the magnitude of what we dealt with yesterday. Certainly it was certainly something else. I'll go ahead and then further up the coast, later in the day, this is what really blew my mind here, was looking at some of these wind reports out of Eastern North Carolina. We have Angela here from New Bern, and New Bern topped out at 77 miles an hour. And you would think that, that would be the highest one, but no. There were twin tornadoes that came ashore in Carteret County. And a couple stations actually was able to sample the winds. And so the Atlantic station sampled 102 miles an hour. Jeanette's Pier at 101 miles an hour.
That's impressive.
Really impressive. And so here's some of the survey information. So twin tornadoes, Carteret County on Harkers Island, came ashore about the same time. EF1, the first one was an EF1 with 100 mile an hour peak, estimated peak winds based off of the damage. Those measurements were taken offshore, and the EF rating is purely a damage scale. Ask storm chasers from Oklahoma how they feel about that sometimes. You'll have some people tell you, El Reno was an EF5, but it was rated as an EF3 because of the damage indicators, even though they had velocity data saying it was an EF5. And so only went about a quarter mile, 75 yards, not even a full football field, and nobody was hurt. But this is a really good, reason to remember to, when they say get inside into an interior room away from windows, this is exactly what they mean, right here. This is exactly why, you do that. And, fortunately nobody was hurt from these. The second tornado was an EF0 with estimated winds of 85 miles an hour. There's a National Weather Service surveyor standing in front of a downed tree. That's a big tree down, looks like.
Yeah.
And it went, a little more than a tenth of a mile, 60 yards wide. Nobody was hurt. But you can see that, you know, these twin tornadoes did do some damage. So, and again, just these wind reports, I gotta tell you, this is, it's just wild. Seeing these here and, again, those 100 mile an hour readings, you got to have a pretty solid anemometer to be able to stand up to 100 mile an hour plus measurements. So that was quite an eye opener for us yesterday.
I can imagine. I hope nobody was driving on the Rodanthe bridges that they have over in the Outer Banks. That must have been just
no.
I really hope
no. That, I didn't hear of any issues out there, which was good.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have heard something if something had gone really wrong, which is good news. Hopefully people weren't on there. And Joseph, you were also looking into some of the Greensboro stuff. You were looking into some of the other storm reports around North Carolina.
Yeah. Let me bring it up real quick here. But Tim Buckley was mentioning, so in Greensboro, if you're not familiar, there's a Buffalo Run Creek that goes through a good part of town. And so I believe here, give me like 5 seconds, but Tim Buckley had a photo that he shared with people on Twitter, and it was the Revolution Mill. There it is. I'll share my screen here.
Yeah.
There we go. So let me share my screen here. And as you can see with Tim Buckley in this clip here, Revolution Mill in Greensboro was just inundated with water. And if you're familiar with the Revolution Mill, you'll know that this creek here really only runs under one of these buildings and is very, very narrow creek. It's lucky, hopefully none of these buildings has got any water inundation, but that's fairly impressive. Another clip from him, actually, I'll bring it up here, but you can see just the flow in some of these, in this river or creek, was fairly strong. So, just another reason why I say turn around, don't drown. I mean, that's nothing that you want to be walking or driving into.
Look how fast it's moving. I mean, that's going to knock you over and take you away.
Yeah.
I mean, that'll sweep you down a road. That'll sweep you down there, and it can wash out roads. We had reports of washed out roads in the upstate of South Carolina.
Yeah, we had some near Winston-Salem as well, just north of there.
Yep. And so, yeah, I mean, this is a really good, that's a really good look at that. And again, you see how fast that's moving. You don't know. That's just incredibly dangerous.
Especially at night too. That's, that's really hazardous. And I'm surprised we didn't have as much, it seemed like we in the Greensboro area didn't disrupt things as much as, I was nervous about. Seems like a lot of people heeded that.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. That's what we like to hear. We like to hear folks heeding the warnings. And I think, a lot of places did a really good job yesterday of that. Inevitably during the middle of the day when it was just a windstorm here in Charleston, we had people start getting frantic about, hey, why did they close the schools for this? But by about 4 o'clock or so, people were very understanding as to why they closed the schools because of the huge crosswinds on the bridges. You can't run, everything around here is accessed by a bridge, and you can't run school buses over bridges. Imagine if that tractor trailer had been a school bus, right? That would have been just unconscionable. And again, with the wind gusts, the high wind warning certainly verified up and down the coast. It was ultimately a pretty well forecast event. And folks took it seriously, which is always good to see. We weather people love to see that.
Especially with schools. I mean, The Alamance, Burlington school system in Alamance County, even not really, you know, coastal area or anything. They had water intrusion in their, in some of their schools. Yeah. I believe the one in Graham, North Carolina had, Graham High School had some water intrusion, which, you know, if you think about, you know, some people are complaining about, you know, closing schools or delaying schools, but, you know, even things like that can have a big impact on, just in just general class school time in general. So that's good.
Oh, yeah.
Took measure even that's in those small cases. So
yeah, no, it was again, it was a day full of hazards. It was a very potent storm. It caused impacts. I was talking to a coworker in Toronto today, who was like, "Oh yeah, we had the same storm." I'm like, "Yep, we sure did. It reached very, very long, all the way across the eastern half of the U.S. It's now moved out, but guess what?
We got another round two.
We got round two on Friday. Now I don't know about Friday. You know, again, Friday looks a little bit more conditional, and I'll go ahead and go to the models here, and we'll show you all what I'm looking at. And I'm, you know, well, hold on, there it goes. So let's take a look at Friday, shall we? And again, looking at this is the 18Z GFS, and one thing that we'll note is that this, actually tweaks some of the timing a little bit there. But let me just show you all kind of what we're looking at here. So we have yet another very strong low pressure system organizing in the Mid-South. This is going to eject up to the Great Lakes. Sound familiar? Drag a cold front with it. Sound familiar? Here is Friday morning at 7 a.m. Kind of advance this a little bit. We should start to see some showers begin to move into southern South Carolina, into the upstate, kind of running parallel to the CSRA here by about 1 o'clock. Some of the earlier timing, some of the forecasts right now, you know, the official forecasts right now are bringing that up a little bit sooner than that. This is kind of a recent thing in the model to actually set this time back a little bit. So we'll see. Again, exact timings are still kind of tough to know. So I don't want folks to necessarily bank on exactly what timings we've got here, but we'll have a warm front lifting north across the Carolinas, and that's going to bring some shower activity. And then the question becomes, is there enough instability? Can enough instability develop for maybe some warm sector thunderstorms? Maybe some, you know, the Storm Prediction Center has mentioned that there is the potential for maybe a couple supercell thunderstorms. Looking at the wind profiles, again, we have, we'll look at the 850 millibar winds off the GFS, and that is legit. That's very, you know, that's legit. We're talking 50, 60, you know, you get into the whites here, that's, you know, your 65 to 70 knot winds. And that's similar to what we dealt with on Tuesday. But the difference here is, you know, the difference here is I think there's going to be a little bit more rain ahead of this. And I think it's going to tamp down on the instability a little bit more. Mm. So, and the other thing that that's going to do is also going to stop those non-thunderstorm winds from getting too crazy. Now we could still see gusts 30, 40 miles an hour very easily. You know, that is certainly, and that can be hazardous when you're driving on bridges in particular, but we're not thinking 60. So, okay, I'm going to take every win I can get here from one of these. And so again, that low level jet is screaming. And, when you look at the GFS and bring up the instability, you know, here we do have some instability that's trying to nose into Charlotte, goes near Greensboro. This is at 7 o'clock, and so a little bit of instability trying to nose in here later in the day in that warm sector. So we'll have to see. You'll notice the model really doesn't have too much of a squall. It doesn't have that defined squall line like we saw on Tuesday. So there's uncertainty here as far as like what the storm mode is going to be. Is it going to be linear? Is it going to be individual discrete cells that could produce tornadoes? That's how the two Carteret County ones came about. They were a discrete, you know, supercell thunderstorms that came ashore. We'll have to see. We'll have to see what that ultimately turns out. And in the Storm Prediction Center, in their outlook, you know, is a little iffy right now. They still are not quite sure about what the storm mode is ultimately going to be. So, you know, we'll need to keep an eye on this. But the good news is, again, it's going to get out of here relatively quickly. And by Saturday morning, we'll be clearing out, cooling off. It'll still be a little breezy behind the front as that cool advection kicks in. But overall, I think my call to action for folks on Friday is right now. Let's keep an eye on the forecast. Let's keep an eye on updates. We've got some fine tuning to do here. There's some model discrepancies on timing. Very small little things can make a big difference in these.
Exactly.
So we'll keep an eye on that for you. You know, just stay informed. You've got trusted weather sources. We know you do. You're watching us. So you got to know. We'd like to think that we have a higher level of weather connoisseur watching us here. And so we know you've got that. And, there's always variables with every system. Every system is different. With any luck, we're going to get through Friday okay. But the wind fields are still there. You know, if we can get a thunderstorm to really bubble up, if we get some instability there, the wind fields are similar, and we could pull down some more very strong gusts. And the shear, again, 60, 70 knots of wind shear in the low levels, a lot of turning with height too. So yeah, the tornado threat is there. So we're going to, let's wait and see. We'll know more tomorrow. And, stay tuned to your trusted weather source. Exactly. But so Joseph, any final thoughts, as we wind down this, relatively brief episode of the Carolina Weather Group, but, want to get out. And if anybody has any questions too, in the comments, I'm happy to take those. Here's a good one.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I don't know that I can say that there is, but Betty Green on YouTube is asking, is there snow within the next week for the eastern part of North Carolina? And I probably not. We do see some stuff maybe in the mountains, certainly a possibility. We're gonna have some really chilly air moving in next week after Martin Luther King Day. A really good cold snap. We're gonna get down to the 20s here in Charleston Wednesday morning. There is some moisture that's gonna be squeezed out, maybe some northwest flow snow, certainly a possibility, but I don't know that it makes it so far to the east, but stay tuned. It's early. There's a lot of time for this to develop. So that's what we have to look forward to. We're doing spring right now. It's like we're doing fall and spring all at once, and then we're going to do some winter, and then probably be back to spring in no time. Below normal temperatures are going to take over next week. So, but what's nice about that is that's going to stop this train of severe weather.
Exactly.
For sure. Alex Perdue is asking, is going to be any severe weather for central North Carolina, such as tornadoes? And I think that is certainly, a possibility.
There.
Best risk of severe weather is found inland from the coast. So it's going to kind of round that trough there. So that could be interesting. The Storm Prediction Center actually has a 30% enhanced risk out from the Alabama up through Georgia into North and South Carolina, away from the coast. So something to watch for sure. And again, there is that potential for some very strong wind gusts, 70 miles an hour, maybe a strong tornado or two. So again, we'll let this, let more data come in. We'll let, we'll continue to refine the forecast as needed. And we'll see what happens. So stay tuned.
Just remember when you see severe thunderstorm warning, a lot of times, a lot of the things, tornadoes that popped down yesterday were, maybe severe warned, but real quickly spun up and, did that. So that's another thing to watch out for, some of these that they'll real quickly spin up and then spin down. So
yeah,
even if you have a severe thunderstorm warning, just be weather aware, because a lot of them were fairly quick spinning up and spin down. So
yep, absolutely. I mean, that was the case in Claremont. Yeah. That was a big case in Claremont, which is already in a radar no man's land. It's very difficult to do any detection up there. And so, so they were already at a disadvantage. And then when you have these QLCS storms that come through, that's game over. And I think, too, much like Tuesday, these storms are going to be moving very quickly. So lead time is going to be at a premium. If you get that warning, Joseph is absolutely right. You get that warning, go ahead, take action, get inside, get away from windows, at least get away from Windows. They've showed you why. Morehead City showed you why earlier. And again, you know, the good news is that they'll move fast and it'll be over before you know it. And we're going to be fine.
Yep.
At the end of the day, we're going to be just fine. You know, just do those things. You're going to be just A-okay. Any other final thoughts before we depart this evening?
No, just be weather aware, as we said just now. So,
yep. Sounds good to me. Well, for Joseph Navin, I'm Jared Smith in Charleston, South Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of the Carolina Weather Group. Stay tuned for coverage updates as we get into Friday. Follow us on social media. Hit that like and subscribe button on YouTube. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, X. It's Twitter. Follow us there, and we'll have updates for you from weather sources all over the Carolinas, including our own. And keep you posted on what transpires on Friday. So until then, everybody, take care. Have a wonderful evening, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Okay.